Pasuk Yud Beis. We're up to Pasuk Yud Beis. Pasuk Yud Beis continues the discussion, the dialogue between Esther and Mordechai. Esther says to Mordechai back in Pasuk Yud Aleph that it is not possible that your idea, your instructions that I go to Achashverosh and beg him to reverse the decree is not possible because you're only allowed to enter into the palace of the king through by invitation. And this invitation that we learned in the Targum, this idea, this concept, was invented by none other than Haman Harasha. Haman Haragog is the one that invented this concept that the only way you're allowed, the only one that has permission to come to the king is by invitation only, was Haman. I have not been called for 30 days, and therefore I cannot go to the king and ask him to reverse the decree. So what it says here, 30 days, just to review very quickly, that's on a very simple level, I think if you learn the pasuk, look at any of the mafarshim, you would think that Esther says, he doesn't like me anymore. My time has passed. He's already looking for a new wife. I'm already married 5 years. 5 years, you know, how long does the love between husband and wife last? The honeymoon is long. The honeymoon,
7 year itch.
Exactly. 7 year itch. So I guess in Persia it was a 5 year, I wouldn't call it an itch, 5 year irritation. In Persia it was the 5 year irritation. Okay, only an unmarried man can say, has the liberty of saying such a thing. The 5 year irritation, and she said, it's been already 30 days, he has not called me. Who knows if he ever will call me? Who knows, it might be years until he wants to see me once again. That's the very simple way of learning Pshat the Pasuk. Then we learn the Targum Sheni. He says, you're asking me to do something that's very uncomfortable because really I should have been called to his presence long ago. But I was mispalel to Hashem that I should be spared. He should be busy with other activities and forget about me. And Hashem has granted my request. And now you're telling me to reverse my tefillah? You're telling me to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do something which I've been praying for the last 30 days that should not be done? That's a very interesting idea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does what you want. This expression in English, don't be careful what you pray for. Hashem may give it to you. It may come true. If you misspell for something, it may come true. So here she was actually praying according to the Targum Sheni for 30 days that she not have to go and appear before him. And now Mordechai Haman is telling you, well, you know, you made a big mistake. That's not exactly a very good prayer in this situation, because we're in a very great sakana, and now the time has come when I want you to go and appear before Achashverosh and beg him to reverse the decree. The third interpretation we discussed yesterday is, what's the rush? It's imminent. It's already been 30 days. The king cannot survive without me for that such a long period of time. So it's imminent. He's going to call me within a day or two. So why should I risk my life to appear before him in such a short period of time? So those are the three basic mahalchim and what the pasuk means when it says, when she said 30 days. Pasuk Yud Beis. It was told to Mordechai the words. It was told to Mordechai the words of Esther. We really learned the previous pasuk that it was told through. It was told to him through. Gabriel, and Michael. Okay, so we did that targum yesterday, so that we did the pasuk as well. Okay, pasuk yud dal. Now comes the response. This is where we pasuk yud gimel. Now comes the response. This is a very harsh response. Vayomer Mordechai lehoshiv el Esther al tidami v'nafsheich. The word tidami is a very hard word to translate, and that's why Rashi elaborates. It means do not think. Do not think. Now the word tidami literally means, it means silence. What?
To imagine.
So imagine means that to we'll see Rashi precisely what it means. But when a person thinks, a person imagines, and a person thinks, and a person, he's silent. He lushen, What?
We have this lesson before, Vayidom Aharon.
Vayidom Aharon, correct. So the word Vayidom means, here's the word Yidom, Dalid Mem, the Shurish is silence. So don't be silent v'nafshech in your soul. Now, what exactly does that mean? Does it mean literally to be silent? In other words, don't feel that that's not your problem. Silence. So it's not so simple. We're going to see Rashi. Rashi doesn't mean silence. It means do not imagine. Do not think. Do not come up with plans in your mind, of plans other than what I am instructing you. And the reason why silence and machshava are not a contradiction is obviously because when a person is thinking, he is silent. There's a time for action when a person speaks. There's a person, when a person has his mind, he's silent. He's not really silent. His mind is active. Al to the miven afshech, do not be silent or do not imagine in your neshama, in your thoughts, that you're going to escape, that you're going to be different than all of the Jews. Do not think. Do not think that's not my problem. The Jewish people, they will suffer, but I, being the queen, will certainly be granted an exemption. Let's see Rashi, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Al Tadami V'Hashech. Rashi is totally bothered with the word Tadami, Al Tachshavi. Do not think. Kamo V'Hoyo Kasher Dimisi, as it says in Bamidbar, Hashem says what I thought to do to the Umos Olam, I will do to you. There was Hashem says you should wipe out, obliterate the Canaanim, and don't go easy on the Canaanim. Make sure, don't think that it's not the right thing to do to drive them out. Because if you do not drive them out, they will be thorns in your eyes. And what I thought to do to them, I will end up doing to you. So the word dimisi means a machshava. Do not be misled to think it means to be silent. Al to the biv nafshech, al to hiv. Rashi explains, al to suvura. Do not think, lihimolate biyom hahariga b'veis hamelech, that you will be spared, that it does not affect you. She'ein at reitzel sakin at smucha achshav. You do not want to put yourself in danger. Al hasafek lavoi el hamelech shaloi birishus. Now, a lot of the commentators, they focus on a halachic principle. A person is not, according to halacha, obligated to put himself in a suffix sakana to save someone from a vadai sakana. In other words, are you mechuyev to give up your life for someone else? So here, Esther, by going into the Beis HaMelech, are you allowed to put yourself in a suffix sakana to possibly, it's not a guarantee, to save someone else from a vadai sakana? Klal Yisrael here, they are in jeopardy. Their lives are in jeopardy. If Esther speaks to the king, there's a possibility, maybe yeah, maybe not, it's 50-50, maybe not, maybe it's only 5% possibility, that Esther will succeed in persuading Ahasuerus to reverse the decree. But one thing is for sure, if you go and she goes to the king uninvited, unannounced, she's putting herself in a vadai sakana. She may very well be executed on the spot because she has no invitation to appear before the king. So there's the question in halacha, there's a valid question. Are you, according to halacha, obligated to put yourself in a suffix sakana? Maybe Ahasuerush will extend the royal scepter, maybe he will not, in order to possibly save someone else. There's no guarantee that my conversation with Ahasuerush will succeed.
This is the question that anytime you go to save someone, there's always a sakana.
Right. I don't know if you can say that when a fireman goes to a fire, he's putting himself in the vadai sakana. There's sakana. There's no question.
The example the Gemara always gives is somebody going into somebody's drowning, and you jump in to save him, and you're not a good swimmer yourself.
Right. So every case is certainly, you can't generalize. Every single situation, firemen are trained. Firemen are trained exactly how. It's not all that common to hear a fireman die in a fire. I mean, it happens. It happened even recently, we heard about it. But it's not all that common because they're professionally trained. Every situation is different, obviously. So here, Esther is basically saying, according to the halacha, I'm not mechuyev, do what you're telling me to do. In other words, I have my own plans. This idea of how, where she ties in Shulchan Aruch works well with the previous idea that we mentioned before, I have other plans. I have other solutions. The time will come when I will be invited to speak to Achashverosh. The Gezer is not going to go into effect for another 11 months. It's imminent. Within a day or two, he's certainly going to call me. And when I am in his company, I will bring up this matter. I'll tell him I'm Jewish. I'll tell him the whole story. And maybe I will succeed. So why should I now, when you take that into account, that she has a plan in her back pocket. And the only question is, should she at this moment put herself into a matzav of sakonis nefashos to possibly, maybe yeah, maybe not, save Klal Yisrael? According to Shulchan Aruch, you're not mechuyev to do so. You're not mechuyev. So Mordechai says back to Esther, I know that's your kavana. I know you're a baki in Shulchan Aruch, and you know what it says, but you're wrong. The reason why you're wrong is because you are anyway going to die. It doesn't make a difference in this situation, because if you are part of us, and if this gezeira goes into force, we're all going to die. Klal Yisrael is going to die, and you're going to die. So you're really no different. So therefore, your situation is not the case of in Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch, if you do not put yourself in a suffix sakana, nothing will happen to you. You'll live forever. You'll live on. There will be no sakana. That's not the case here, Esther, because you're also going to die. And don't be foolish to think that no, that you're certainly not going to die, because the king would not want to allow his queen to die. It's nonsense. You're a Jew. A Jew will be put to death no matter what. Go look at Vashti. Vashti was killed, even though she was on the situation which was not as severe. So certainly you're going to be put to death, and therefore no excuses here. Okay. So let's go. Shein adroit to l'stak netzvachah b'lachsha. One more time, we end the Rashi. Al asavid lovel alamelach shloi bereshus. Let's see the targum pasuk at gimel. Va'amar Mordechai l'michoel digavriel. So now Mordechai spoke to the two angels, Michoel and Gavriel, la asava levos Esther, and to go in the presence to go speak to Esther, and says kinda, and tell her mila b'mila. Malachim, don't embellish my words with your words. Just say kinda exactly like this. Temun la, say to her, lo sachshavi binaf shaychi. Do not think in your neshama lemchach leish. That you are going to be spared, you're going to be saved in the palace, min kol Yehudoe, from all the Jews. You're going to be no different. You're going to be put to death as well. Now, Pasuk Yidal continues, ki emacharesh tacharishi bo es hazos, because if you will be silent at this moment, revach. Then the truth is, the salvation will come for the Jewish people in another way. Revach v'hatzalah ya'amod la'yehudim mimakoy macher, will stand for the Jewish people from another location. V'atu v'esavich tovedu, and you and your father's home will perish. Umi yodea, and who even knows, im la'es kozos, at this time next year, he got la'malchus, he will still be queen. In other words, there's no guarantees. Don't think you're going to survive. Now, obviously, a lot of ideas being expressed in this pasuk. Let's first see the Rashi. Rashi pasuk gedalid. Umi yodea im la'es kozos, he got umi yodea im yachbots bich hamelech l'shana haba shuzman ha'ariga. Who says the king already will want you next year? Or next year will be ready, your sixth year in Malchus. It's already enough. It's time already for a new lease. How long is a lease on a car? 2 years, 3 years, right? Not more than 3 years. The warranties don't go last more than 3 years, so it's not going to have a lease more than 3 years. So therefore, by next year, you're already up to 6 years. He's not going to be interested. And now will be a great excuse. The fact that you're Jewish is a wonderful excuse for you to be eliminated and for the king to select for himself a new wife. Next, le'es kazos shuhu ha'yomid bin Nisan, because this event took place on the 13th day of Nisan. V'zman hariga ba'adar l'shana haba is an adar l'shana haba. We have to pass through the new year. L'shana haba, it's 11 months later. V'zman hariga ba'adar l'shana haba, in the following year. So I'm not exactly sure why it's called l'shana haba. It's still this year. Adar is still within the year. So why here is he calling it Lashana Haba?
Because it's after Tishrei.
So, but until all along the Megillah, we've always calculated the months, V'chodesh HaRishon U'chodesh Nisan. The Megillah goes out of its way to calculate the years based upon the Jewish calendar, not upon the secular calendar. I don't know, maybe over here he's switching.
But, there's a difference between Chodesh and Hashanah.
No. All it means...
Rosh Hashanah is on... is on Tishrei, which is the seventh month.
It means 1 year from now. 1 year from
11
now.
Months.
No, the Zman HaRika is in 11 months, but what the Pasuk is saying is, Mordechai is saying that 1 year from now, next Nisan, who knows if you'll still be around, because we'll have
pain. No, but look what it says. It says, La'es kazos shehu ma choyu oimed b'nisan uzman ha-hariga be'adar l'shono ha-ba.
But
right now, it's within the same year. Okay, that's one answer. One answer you want to say is that we're going through Tishrei. We're going through Tishrei. But Tishrei in the Megillah, I appreciate what you're saying, and possibly that's the only explanation. But in the Megillah already a few times, every time we mention a month, Bachodesh Shuasu, Chodesh Teves, Bachodesh Shavish, Chodesh Nisan. The Megillah emphasized that the calculation of the years are going still based upon Jewish months, Jewish calendar, not even though Achashverosh, the Persian king, we're not following it based upon the secular, upon Tishrei. Okay, but over here he says that he's sitting in Nisan, and 11 months later is Zman Hariga, and the Gzer is against you as well, and don't think you're going to be spared, and therefore, according to Shulchan Aruch, a person who is safe is not mechuyif to put himself in Sakana, to only on a suffix if his plan will work to save someone else, because you're not safe, Esther, because in a year from now you're gonna, in 11 months from now you're also gonna die, so you're in the same boat. Yeah,
just put a comment, she says,
alright.
What I'm saying is, next year, by Nissan time, who knows if you'll be still alive?
Okay, alright, okay.
Listen to what he's saying. Eis Kazos is now. He says,
Eis Kazos.
Who knows if the reason you're here is because of today? I'm not worried
about it. Maybe the reason you're the queen is to say
you have to do that.
That's a Medrash. The Medrash says that, right?
Yeah, that's a good
she can say, I'll do it in a month. And we have a whole year to work on it. So you say no, Eis Kazos. Now.
It doesn't say Hazos, it says
Kazos. Kazos, what does Kazos mean?
Next year, at this point.
Now, right.
That's what it says.
That you should work on now.
Next year. You have the same passage in Kumish. In the Malachim Cain.
What is
it? Eis Kazos. Next year.
Right, next year.
Eis Kazos.
What's the next words? It says the next year.
All right, let's go further. Let's leave this. Kehigala Malchus in Tagi'i. Who says next year you will be in the same position of queen as you are this year? So don't think you're any different. You're not any different than all of us. You're also slated to die. The sakana is equal for you, and therefore I demand you appear before the king immediately.
The whole 5 years that you were queen and
was just for this. Okay, the Medrash, right? The Medrash says this. Right. The Medrash says. The Medrash says
it as well.
He's drawing from the Medrash. The only reason why this thing has happened that you're in a position to be queen, it's l'mala mederach hateva that you should be the queen. It's only because there's a mission, and it's obvious from this from what we see. This is your tafkid.
Now comes the time. And if
now
you act upon it,
then you're going to be destroyed.
Toivedu.
Okay, there's a very beautiful medrash here. This medrash on this pasuk says that li'olam. When a person gives mussar, a person has to be very careful not to push a person. You always have to leave a pesach, a way to return. Even in halacha, there's such a thing. When you attack a city, the Rambam says, when the Klal Yisrael, they attack a non-Jewish city, let's say even the Melchemes Mitzvah, and the halacha is you have to destroy the entire city, don't surround a city from all four sides. I wonder what they say about this in West Point. Right, is that what it's called?
But they had one Yeshua laid a trap there.
Where? Okay, so you have to. I don't know.
Yeah. Shoot him inside, and they were waiting on it. Kodesh Baruch Hu told them to do it that way.
But you always seemingly, Rambam says, you have to leave an opening, a little teeny opening for them to escape. The reason why now, there are different reasons why. Some say it's a psychological trick. Because if you completely surround the person on all four sides, the city on all four sides, then it's Thomas Nafshi and Plishtim.
Right.
If they have no way out, then you are supercharging them. It's like you're giving them steroids to fight against like you with...
A shot of adrenaline.
What?
It's not like cornering a rat. They said I'm cornering a rat.
A corner of a rat? What would they say? Yeah.
A rat will come out charging.
Exactly. So it's the same. It's exactly the same. Right. It's exactly the same thing. If you're going to take a city, take your enemy, you're going to surround them all four sides. Then they realize there's no escape, and it's basically suicide. It's going to be Thomas. So it's Thomas Snapshin Plishtim, and then they can do things. They can fight back with a degree of intensity that even the strongest army is not prepared for. So therefore, it's not a good idea. Therefore, you have to leave one side open so that now, at least psychologically, they know that if things don't go their way, they always at least think they could escape. Maybe you have no better, you'll be able to trap them when they leave also, but at least let them think that there's a way out. Don't surround them from all four sides. Or the reason why is it's a din of rachmanis. Hashem does not want you, when you are in a position of strength and your enemy is weak and vulnerable, don't torture them. There's a degree of Kadosh Baruch Hu does not want his creatures to be tortured by a stronger power. You leave one side open in order to let the victim, if they so choose, to escape. If they don't want to escape, they want to fight and lose their lives, so be it. But you have to have a degree of rachmanis to allow the victim, allow the other enemy to escape on one side. So here, so that's now the same way that rule is true when it comes to Baal. That rule is 100% even more true when it comes to giving Musar. When a Rebbe, a teacher, a parent gives a child Musar, and if the Musar is so complete, it's so overwhelming, where the child or the student feels that there is no way, there is no opening for him to come back to his father, he's completely been banished, banned, and dismissed 100%, that can lead the person to a state of despair and can do things that otherwise he never would have imagined doing. There always has to be some type of opening. So a person should not be doiche b'shtei yodayim. If I'm not mistaken, Chazal criticized Rabbi Shur ben Prachya, and he pushed away Yeshu HaNotzri b'doiche b'shtei yodayim. That created a reaction of where he basically started. He left Klal Yisrael and he started Christianity. Okay, that's not so simple how it all started. Through three Yeshus, what? Isn't Yeshu ben Prachya?
The long time, 3620 Momos Hanukkah, he was the Nasi in the time of Hanukkah.
Yeah, so he was 110 years before the second Yeshu, before the year zero. There are two Yeshus, right? So two. There's at least two. There was one during Tom Yeshu ben Prach. It's Pirushim Moin Sanhedrin. And there's another one that Tom Gamliel Hanossi. The one that they calculate the calendar 2015 from is from the one during Rabbi Gamliel Hanossi. He was. So he was the second one. He picked up where his predecessor left off.
It was the original Minim were the people that believed in the original Yeshua Nutzri, and then it continued.
It continued. It would always alter. It went through many transformations until it became one. Some say there were even three. And even the one that the secular world relates to, there are many mysteries and questions if the person even existed.
The person that wrote it never saw him.
Right, they say it's a composite of at least two or three. All of the history and the church had enormous power of censorship and lies. There's a lot of stuff today. Even they acknowledge to some degree a lot of the things that are written up are not accurate. Are just they romanticize the whole period.
Simcha said once chat.
It's to turn around. I'm coming to explain. So the same when it comes to Musa. When it comes to Musa, if you push away a person with two hands, it's like the enemy attacking and surrounding your victim from all four sides, which is extremely dangerous for the more powerful. If you push away a person with two hands, you're not giving him a way to return, a Pesach, to come back, an option of return. It's very dangerous. That's what Chazal say. You should push away with the weaker hand. With the weaker hand, which with the left, that's the weaker hand. And with the right hand, you should give even a good, you should pull. You should pull the person, which means you should give him more options to return than force of pushing away. Now, you're saying from Simcha, this is a very drush, is that when you push with one hand, with your left hand, here's the left hand, I'm thinking about your left hand, and you pull with the right hand, what are you really doing? You're turning him around. The person has the back to you, and you push him like this, and pull him like that, You're turning the person around. That's why Chazal used that example of Lo'olam Yehei Doicha B'Smol Karev B'Yamin. So here Chazal learned that halacha, in some degree, the Medrash says explicitly, is based upon this pasuk. What exactly did Mordechai say to Esther? He said to her the harshest words possible. V'at uveis avich toivedu. You and your family will be destroyed. That's not so clear what it means, avich. Avich maybe means once they discover that you're Jewish, and they know already some information, they'll make an FBI investigation, or as if they didn't know already, and they'll trace your yichus. She came from, Esther came from Sheva ben Yamin, from Shaul, and I guess they'll figure out she came from, any living descendant of Shaul, you can be sure that Achashverosh and Haman will seek out and kill. Because now that you have fooled, you've made a fool out of the king. The king here has decided to destroy the Jewish people. And he was fooled that the queen herself is Jewish. It's such a disgrace for the Malchus. They're going to go to the extreme, not only to kill you, but to kill any one of your ancestors that are still alive, any one of your relatives that are still alive. So Mordechai is giving Esther, is saying to her the harshest words possible, V'at uveis avich toivedu. He's being doiche b'smol. But Esther can be a violent reaction. She can say, "That's how you talk to me. I'm the queen. You're telling me that I'm slated. So he right away he takes a step back. Umi yodea. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm saying umi yodea. We don't know what's going to be in lo'es kazos at this time next year.
He's saying it on himself also, because he's also from the Rishon.
He's also, no, he's not. He's from Binyam. He's not necessarily from Shaul. Esther, well, I don't know, maybe you're right. So in Achnami, it means him also. It means all of her relatives, but it means there'll be no zecher to her family whatsoever. She's doing a disservice to her relatives. Esther obviously had relatives. It was not known who they were. But after this would become uncovered, they would find out who they were. But the second expression, according to the Medrash, is a much, much lighter expression. And it by itself would not have been enough to convince Esther to stand down, to listen to Mordechai. Umi yodea, we don't know what's going to be in a year from now. In Le'es Kozos, if at this time next year, he got La Malchus, he will be in the position of being queen. Who knows? So nothing in life is certain. You don't know what's going to be next year. But this expression is not a strong expression, which basically Mordechai, according to the Medrash, is saying to Esther, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. We don't know what's going to be. And maybe you should think about it. He's giving Esther here some power. Make your own decision. I'm just telling you, we're in a very tight situation. We got a problem. And we don't know what, don't think there are any guarantees. You may be mistaken to think that you're going to be queen and you're going to be spared. He's going to love you. Umi yodea. Who's to say what's going to be next year? So therefore, Esther, you think about it and you make a decision. The first words.
Don't get caught up in yourself. You have to look at the bigger picture here.
Right, but that alone would not have been strong enough to convince Esther to listen to Mordechai. We need the other expression, the at uveis avich tovedu. That is a very harsh expression. If you don't listen to me, I know what I'm talking about. If you don't listen to me, guaranteed next year you're dead. When a person hears someone talk to him like that, what is the natural response? I don't want to talk to Meshugoyim. I don't want to talk. When you want to read someone a shidduch, right? I have some friends that are not married. And sometimes people ask me to speak to them shidduchim. So if I come to them and I say, I just know what people do to me, right? And I speak to them with, if you don't marry this girl, you're finished. This is the last girl in the world. It's you talk a certain way. This guy's a mashugana. Leave me alone. I don't want to talk to you. You give a person power. You empower the person. I want to give you some information. But you make the decision. The problem is, when you let the person make the decision, they'll make the wrong decision. They're not going to listen to what you have to say. So you have to go. You have to be tough. But if you go tough, it's no good. So there has to be a balance. Everything in life is all about balance and trade-offs. And that's what the Medrash says. The Medrash says that the words, Umi yodea im lo'eis kazosi gal lamalchus is vikarev biyamin. He's empowering her. He's saying, it's your decision. I just want to present the information. The information is, we have an ace tzara. It could very well be that you will not be affected by this. And it could very well be that you have a plan that will be very successful in saving Klal Yisrael. I just want to bring this information that nothing is certain. Because you're also Jewish, don't forget that, Esther, just because you're the queen. And the gzeir is for all of the entire Klal Yisrael. Who knows what's going to be? I just want to bring this to your attention, and you can act upon it according to your liking. But on the other hand, that's the karev b'yamin. He's giving her power. He's giving her an option to let her make her own decision. He's going light. But the first half of the pasuk, the atu ve'savich toivedu, this is very tough. This is very harsh. This is the words of an extremist, which you would typically, you know, you distance yourself. I don't want to hear. Technology is osser. Internet is osser. The internet, you machshem over zichro. Nothing to do. You tell a person, it's good, it's wonderful. Just you have to watch yourself, have a filter, and this and that. Talking a different language. So this is the unique blend of the chokhmah of Mordechai HaYehudi according to the interpretation of the Targum.
How does Mordechai? It's almost seen. You look at the ratio of the pasuk, he's guaranteeing that Klal Yisrael will be saved. There's no doubt.
He's
saying, you know, if you're not going to do this, you're not going to be part of the people going to be saved. You're not part of Klal Yisrael anymore.
Right.
You're going to be saved.
Right. How did he know this? So yes, you're asking a very tough question. I don't know the answer. He's saying v'netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. He has emuna that Klal Yisrael, in one way or another, ma'isa avosim labanim Yaakov Avinu, when he planned to meet Esav, he divided Klal Yisrael l'shnei machanes. Im yovoi hamachane chas v'yikoyu v'hoyo hamachane hanishar l'fleita. There is, the pasuk seems to say that there's a guarantee there's going to be survival. What are the details of survival? I don't know. You're right, I don't know the answer. In the Holocaust, how does he know that? Maybe there won't be Revachat Zalmach. Maybe Klal Yisrael will be destroyed. Is there a guarantee that Klal Yisrael will survive? I don't know the answer. How did he know? According to the Targum, he had a conversation with Eliyahu HaNavi, and he told him that the Gzer is sealed in clay. Not in blood, but it's sealed. So the Gzer is sealed. That means that if you don't do anything, it's going to happen. So what does that mean exactly? The Holocaust happened. You're not going to deny that it didn't happen. In Mitzrayim, 4/5 of the Jewish people perished. No one's going to deny that. In the time of Hanukkah, some of the leaders of the Maccabeim, they died. They were killed in battle. They were great, great tzaddikim. We can't even begin to imagine. And they died. They were killed in the battles. There were terrible things that happened. In fact, each one of the Dalin Malchios, we mourn. Even though the miracle of Hanukkah, the miracle of Purim, is a wonderful miracle, but it was collateral damage. Who's the collateral damage? Daniel. On Tisha B'Av, we recite the Kina. And in the Kina, we mourn the Dalin, all of the tzaras of the Dalin Malchios. So Bishlomo, you'll tell me about mourning for Mitzrayim, which is before Dal Malchis, I understand, because in Mitzrayim, 4/5 perished, and there was Shibu, there was Inui, this week's parasha. We can understand during the time of Bavel, the base Hamigdash was destroyed, there's what to mourn about. But what about the Yavanim? And what about Purim? Why are we mourning for these periods of time? These were successful times we overcame. Just because we survived, there was still collateral damage. There's what to mourn about in the period of Paras and Mordechai. Daniel was killed. Daniel Ish Hamudos was murdered. It's part of the Purim story. In the time of Hanukkah, people died in battle. There was collateral damage. So there's what to mourn about. So I don't know the answer to your question. But okay, there's another point before we see the Targum, but there's another interesting idea, which also another more questions that have answers. Mimokom Acher. The Medrash here says, what does it mean, Mimokom Acher? Hashem's name is not written in the Megillah. Nowhere. Hashem's name. And that is why Sofrim, when they begin to practice, when they begin to write something, what is the first thing every Sofer writes? A Megillah. Because you can't blow it. Because a Megillah, if you write a mezuzah and you write Hashem's name, and then you realize you left out a word, so then the mezuzah is puzzle, and the whole thing has to go into Geniza, Sefer Torah as well. But in a Megillah, there are no Shemos. Hashem's name is not mentioned. It says the word Amelech, and we know we have a reference, remember it's Amelech refers, without Hachashesh, refers to the Melech Malchi Amlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the Medrash says that even a more significant remez to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is this pasuk. Mimakom acher.
The word
makom. Baruch hamakom baruchu. Hamakom yinachim eschem besoch shavil tzion v'yushalayim. The word makom is a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now what's difficult over here is it says mimakom acher. The Medrash says mimakom acher is a code. The Ribbono shel Olam will save us in another form. It appears that you are in position. The only reason why you have been taken as queen is to save Klal Yisrael. But if you do not want to take advantage of your position for this purpose, don't worry. The Mokoyim Hakadosh Baruch Hu, the Ribbono Shel Olam, he has acher. He has another plan for Klal Yisrael. So here is an explicit mention of Hakadosh Baruch Hu, perhaps even more so than when it says in the Megillah Hamelech without the mention of Achashverosh. Okay, now. Okay, so that's Mimakom Acher. Now let's see over here the Targum first. Pasuk Yudalit Arum Im.
So you have Baruch Hamakom. That's from the Haggadah.
Haggadah.
We have a
Miyodeah. Echad Miyodeah.
And we have a Miyodeah.
Aha.
I don't know if there's any connection.
Miyodeah Im Leis Kozos. Two words. Echad Miyodeah. Echad Ani Yodecha Ani Yodecha Lekinu Shevashan Eretz. All right, there's two. They're both in this pasuk. Let's see the Targum. Pasuk Yudal. Arum im mishtak shesoki v'id v'idono hada. If you will be silent at this moment, v'lo safki I al Yehudoei, and you do not entreat on behalf of the Jewish people, so that means you're going to entreat the king by asking him rivacha. V'sheizvusa, two words. Revach v'hatzala. Revacha means open space. We mentioned this last week. We mentioned this on Friday. Is Hashem will change people's frame of mind when you're in a revach. Revach lehispoinein bein inyan leinyan. That's the way Chazal described time to think. When you have time to think about something, to plan, to plot, and to take in the significance of an event, that's called revach. The Gaul of Yitzias Mitzrayim took place b'chipazon. The Korban Pesach has to be eaten with your shoes on and your walking staff in your hand. Ready to leave. And they were chased out of Egypt because the Geula of Yetzias Mitzrayim is not the Geula Shalema. There's another Geula coming, the Geula Ha'asida. And in order to indicate that it's not the Geula Shalema, we had no time to enjoy or to take in the significance of the event. But this miracle of Purim is going to be with revach. It's going to be with an open mind, with time to take in the significant. V'shei zvusa, success. Yukum will. V'shei zvusa means success. Hatzala. V'shei zvusa is the translation of hatzala, salvation. Yukum will rise up lihudoei min asar ocharon from another location. Begin zuchus, and here is where the Targum Kedarka embellishes the pasuk. Begin zuchus Avohas Alma, in the merit of the Avos. He's introducing Zuchus Avos. The only problem is Tamuz Zuchus Avos. The Gemara says Beferisha, during one of the kings, the Jewish kings, already halfway into the time of Shlomo HaMelech, after only a few kings after Shlomo HaMelech, I forgot which one, Mikan Tamuz Zuchus Avos. But Beris Avos, Chazal Seiv, Taisa says, even though there's no Zuchus Avos, there's still the Beris Avos. What's the difference between the Zuchus and the Beris? That's another discussion. But he says, no, there is still over here called something called the Zubigin.
Gillis the Storm brings down the Al-Sheikh, and what he says, you have to basically Yechzol is that since you come from Shevet Binyamin, so you were here to rectify the
show
thing came about. So if you don't, if you're not the instrument of saving, then after Yechzol Beibu, your family lost the opportunity to get rid of him, to be misaking the faith.
Shaul is an ultimate failure.
But even if it happens elsewhere,
the legacy of Shaul is on the line.
Right.
Knows you can still redeem your grandfather, Shaul HaMelech. You can still redeem him.
We're going to be saved, but in other words, your family line will lose the
Your legacy in history will go back as failures. And right now, you can still rectify what Shaul didn't do. If you're going to fail, then Shaul Lemafreya is going to be viewed as a failure. Begin Zuchus Avohas Alma. And the Ribbono Shel Olam. So notice over here what it says. The Mori Alma. Notice how the Targum here says the Mori Alma, the Ribbono Shel Olam. I guess it's all part of what it means. Mimakom Acher. Okay? Mimakom Acher. But he did say Asar Ocharon. He did say in the beginning of the Pasuk, he did say, first he translated the Targum as Asar Ocharon, and now he says that success, Rev Atzol Yamod LaYehudim, who's going to bring the success? The Mori Alma, Min Yad Bale Divo Veyon, from the hands of their enemies, the Ant and you, Uginisas Beis Avo Soch. Now the word Ginisas, what's the word Ginisas mean?
Treasures.
The Ginisas, the
legacy.
The legacy, is that what it means? The legacy of Beis Avosach Tov Din will be perished. Now here he's going to add a lot more. Alahi Choyvosach for this sin. For this sin of not, so he's saying something a little bit different. You're going to die, this is what he's saying. You're going to die not because you're Jewish. Because being Jewish is not going to be why you're going to die, because that you'll be able to get out of. Technically, because you're the queen, and the queen has certain exemptions. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm telling you, is going to cause you to die as a punishment for the sin of not saving Klal Yisrael. Say, so there's a gezeira of Haman. Maybe Esther, you're right. You're not included in that gezeira. Because you have a diplomatic immunity. Diplomatic immunity to the gezeira of Haman. But by standing on the sidelines and not intervening for your brethren, for Klal Yisrael, that itself is a sin. And that sin is punishable by death. And the Ribbono Shel Olam will see to it that you will come to an end.
This is even stronger because it's the sin of the family. The reason we have Haman is because...
Shaul, that's what he said. Shaul. Exactly what he said before. So therefore, Shaul's legacy is on the line. That's Atav Esavich. That's what he mentioned before.
Your words are not in Kolos. That
tent. Yeah.
That's right.
The
family sin, your
ancestors. The ancestors, Shaul HaMelech, to rectify. And if you'll rectify, it will show that Shaul has really bequeathed to you the correct midos. In Shaul, in his lifetime, he was unable to bring it to fruition. But you will rectify because you are a descendant. But if you're not going to rectify the sin of Shaul, then Lemafreya, retroactively, Shaul will be viewed as a failure. So his legacy is on the line. Now, Manhu Hakima, and who is so wise? Ezeo Chacham, Horoya Es Hanoilat. You know what the future will bring. Who is so wise to know what's going to be in 11 months from now if you'll still be the queen? De Yinda in Leshata de Asya, in the following year, the Idana Hada, in this time, let's like he said, as Rav Nechemya said, let's say Nisan next year, maybe he's learning, not like Rashi, he's saying at this time next year, which means in Nisan next year, at you, Matya, Lemechsan Malchusa, you will still be in possession to be a holder of the...
says next year after all of this is over,
you'll still be alive. You're not going to be nichlal in the gezera, because the gezera, you'll have diplomatic immunity, but you'll be punished for the sin of not saving Klal Yisrael. You could have saved, you chose not to save. Hashem will bring about your death in another way that you cannot foresee what will be. So obviously he's saying over here, it's very rich. Targum over here is eating a lot of ideas in between the lines of what is about to happen.
Sfardim, when they say Kaddish, they actually use some of this. They say Shazifa, you know.
Success, Hatzlacha. Okay.
They say Ruach Revach Batzala.
Revach. Revach is money, right? The way they translate Revach is not what it's the way it translates Revach over here.
See, Balaturim over here, it's a funny line.
What did he say?
A rem is that you give Revach Batzala Mishochat to the Sareya.
Every guy has his price. It's not a question if they will take a bribe. The question is how much? Okay, now this is an interesting story. I remember hearing a while ago that it was a seam of Masecht Nedarim, and it was Purim time. This is probably, I don't know, was go look on the calendar which cycle it was. And the speaker, the one who made the hajj, he mentioned this pasuk is in Nedarim. There are two dinim in Nedarim. If a wife makes a vow, so the husband has 24 hours. Machlokes in the Gemara, 24 hours me'es le'es, or means until the next calendar day, in order to annul to annul the vow. To say I don't want to accept this vow that my wife has made, lehara lehetiv. She has accepted upon herself, let's say, not to eat a certain type of food. It's detrimental for her not to eat, and he hears it. If he is silent, then that serves automatically as a hakama, as a haskama, a maskim. Sometimes silence is equivalent to agreement. Shtika kahayda. What more do you need than that? Shtika kahayda. You have to let time pass also. You have to let time, yeah, but you have to give the husband 24 hours to think about it. The clock he hears, smach like the Gemara, either from the time he hears until 24 hours later, or he has to leave the next calendar day. If she makes the neder at 5 o'clock, and 6 o'clock it gets dark, it's sesak kahavim, so he has 1 hour until that time comes. So here, it's exactly over here what Mordechai is saying. Mordechai is saying to Esther, Esther, don't think that there's you can be quiet. You're silent and you won't be held accountable. It's a very difficult situation. What to do? No one really knows what to do. Mordechai is saying, I know what to do. You maybe think sometimes when you're in a very difficult situation, the best thing is do nothing. That's a very common tactic, which is very successful more often than not. Shevi al tasa, when you don't know what to do, you don't know, should you intervene? In the United States, governments, all these different countries, that all these different terrorists all over the world, it's a very big dilemma. What do you do? Do you intervene a little better? Sometimes just stand back. Don't intervene. Mordechai says, in this instance, I'm telling you, shtiko kehoida, your sons im hacharesh tacharishi bo'es hazos. The clock is ticking. If you're going to be silent at this time, then the atu ve'savich tovedu, basically then it's going to be shtiko kehoida. It's an eis lasos laHashem. It's a time when you have to speak up. Silence is not always an excuse. Shev al tase is not always an excuse, especially in this case. Where do you draw the line? I don't know, but that is. I don't remember. There was more to it. I don't remember the details, but that idea is deep presented here. Shtiko kehoida. Okay, now this is a more kabbalistic approach. Is revach v'atzola yamod mimokoyim acher. Mimokom acher, according to the Kabbalah Sfar, means from the Sitra Achra. Sometimes success can come from non-holy sources. There's a Kabbalistic approach. But ultimately, you can't outsmart HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you're going to allow... In other words, what Mordechai over here is saying is, we're gonna overcome this one way or another. We're gonna overcome this one way or another. But the difference will be if we will overcome this through Kedusha, then the Hatzlacha will be forever. But if we overcome the difficulty through means other than Kedusha, which we're very loosely translating, Mimokom Acher, we'll have politicians advocate on our behalf, then we'll get by, but it's not going to be a permanent solution. And in the meantime, the Atu Ves Ovich Tovedu, I'm not sure how that ties in. Okay, I didn't really prepare that. But just to bring out that point, that sometimes Mimokom Acher means through the Sitra Achra, you can succeed through Kedusha, and you can see by brute force. Hashem has created a world where He allows people to abuse the koyach of success. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a person the tools to succeed by brute force. If you're very wealthy and you want something, so I'll just throw around my money, I'll get what I want. And then there are people that will get the same thing not through brute force, through the koyach of tefillah, through musar, through the proper holy channels. You have to use your imagination to figure out different examples. The difference is, Hashem gives you an opportunity to succeed through brute force, but that success will not endure. It will be temporary. Ultimately, it will return back to where it came from. It will return back to a state of failure. But when you succeed through grassroots, through Kedusha, you build up your success through Dvarim Shebe Kedusha, that will be the true success. And that is what it's hinted to, this idea in this Pasuk, to some degree as well. Okay, let's now go to Pasuk Tezvav. So Esther indeed says to turn to Mordechai, let's rally the troops. Let's see Rashi, there is no Rashi, Pasuk, the Rashi, the Targum, Pasuk Tezvav, Vamaras Esther Limochel, the Gavriel. Notice he keeps mentioning Michoel and Gavriel, La Asava, Levas Mordechai, to go to appear before Mordechai. Go to Mordechai. L'chashiv says to go. Lech kenos es kol hayhudim, go and gather all of the Jews. Hanimtzim b'shushan, in Shushan, v'tsumu olai, fast for me. To respond to Mordechai, I accept. I accept your demands. I stand down from my original plan of waiting it out and see what happens. But indeed, Lech Chinosis Kol Hayudu Nimsim B'Shushan V'Tzum and Fes Alav Yaltochlu V'Yaltoshlu Shloshes Yibim Layel Yom, night and day. Gam Ani V'Narosai Otzim Kein, my Narosai, my maidens will also fast like you. Uvechein, and with this, Avoy El HaMelech, I will go to the King Asheloi Chados illegally. I will commit a crime. Right, the people would say, how are they allowed in the time of the World War II to give bribes to the Nazis to save Jews? It's a crime to give a bribe. Yeah. When you're dealing with pikuach nefesh, atzolos nefashos, you can give all the bribes you want. There are times when you have to do illegal things, things that are illegal, in order to save lives. There's no question about that. Don't be a tzaddik. There were some people in World War II didn't want to antagonize Roosevelt. It's not min hanimus. It's asher lo chados. It's not the proper thing. It's not the proper thing to talk, to antagonize the President of the United States, antagonize the powers, the allies. You have to go. You have to do it the right way. Asher lo chados. Not when it comes to atzolos nefashos. When it comes to atzolos nefashos, the Megillah says explicitly, asher loy chados. You have to do things that are illegal and take the risks in order to save lives. That is a murdik yesod. Asher loy chados, v'chasher avadati avadati, and just as I have been avadati, that we'll see over here, I will die. I'm risking my life. Okay, it's an expression. If I die, I die. And we'll see the medrash means that by going now willingly, I will never be allowed to return to you in marriage. Esther was married to Achashverosh, but now, and even though she was living on a very simple level with Esther was married to Mordechai, and even though she was living with Achashverosh, it was not held against her because she was an onus. It was forced upon her. karka Esther, karka Olam. It was forced upon her. But now when she goes into the palace willingly, so she no longer is in halacha, the status of an onus, an anusa, and she was forbidden to return to her husband Mordechai. We'll see them. Let's first see the Rashi, all these words. Pasuk Tezvav in Rashi begins, Asher, what?
I don't understand that, because she was a shliach with bar mitzvah.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The fact, the rules of a woman being allowed to live with her husband still depend on, even though she went for a mitzvah purpose, in halacha there is no distinction. If she enters into the presence of a non-Jew or any man, a married woman has relations with any other man willingly, even though she had good intent, it was for a dvar mitzvah, it doesn't matter. She becomes also labala.
How about bikuach nefesh?
Even bikuach nefesh. Even for bikuach nefesh. The fact is she entered into the melech.
She did.
Mitzvah haba b'avayr.
No, because she did.
She initiated. She, even though she went for the purpose, even though she went to latzolas nefesh, bikuach nefesh, the fact is she gave herself over willingly to Achashverosh for marital relations, and that triggers an automatic prohibition for her to return to her husband.
So this encounter she's about to have with Achashverosh was marital?
Yes. Well, the assumption is that by Achashverosh, we have to know who he was. He was a Baal Taiva. When you enter into his chamber, when a woman enters into his chamber, that's what happens, whether you like it or not. Okay, this is the reality. This is the reality.
Where is that?
Is it true today? I don't know. Okay, that's right. Okay, you hear what he says. You would think that in modern times, right? It doesn't happen in modern times. We know it's not so simple, okay? But Achashverosh, in ancient times, this was the reality. When she comes to speak to Achashverosh, this is what is going to happen, and now she will no longer be allowed to return to Mordechai. Let's see the Rashi. Rashi, Asher lo yichados, she'en dos likones, Asher lo yikore. It is illegal. I'm about to commit a crime. Umedrash agado. Asher lo yikados. Okay. We know. We can find many examples. Let's Asher medrash agado. Asher lo yikados. An ato beoynis viachshav beratzin. Until now, kados means halacha. So Rashi has two translations. Asher lo yikados. Either means legally Persian law, I'm coming before Achashverosh illegally, or it means halacha, Torah law. Until now, it was kadosh, it was forced upon me, but now I'm doing it shleik halacha, I'm going beratzon. Techasher avadeti, avadeti, techasher hischalti, leilich li'ibud, eilich ve'omos. That just like the repetition says that I'm doing something which is suicidal. I'm going before the king, it's suicidal, he may very likely execute me. What were the statistics? At this time, we don't know what the statistics were. How many people try to go in front of the king to jump the gates? Right? I guess it's the equivalent of if you go and you jump over the gate of the White House. So that's it. Execution of less than Melech, the president. What?
He did not let anyone
see an invitation. But even coming to the Shar HaMelech, it says, even coming to Shar HaMelech, Asher lo yichados, automatically you put to death. So it's suicidal, and the only way out is if it will extend the royal scepter. No, if I die, I die. Ubeir shagoda kasher avadati mi beis abba. Oyved nimcha, just like the first oyved means that I am an orphan. My father died when my mother was pregnant. My mother died at birth, so I'm an orphan. So to mimcha, I'll be lost from you, my husband. Shemi achshav shani b'ratzon nivelas la'akum ani asur l'cha ani asur l'cha. I am forbidden to be with you.
We don't have Mordechai's reaction.
Mordechai told her to do this. What do you mean? Mordechai told her explicitly, "Al to the mivinav sheichlim lim bismelch v'chul." He told her twice. He told her to do this. He said, "It's worth it. That's it. We're going to end our relationship. It's worth it to save Klal Yisrael."
It's not called Gilui Arayos.
That's the Gemara.
It is Gilui Arayos. But it was in order to save Hayra Hashah, to save Klal Yisrael. When you're dealing with the,
that was the Rosh Beth.
It was Hayra Hashah to save Klal Yisrael. It was permitted.
Yeah. The Menashe Klein had a whole tshuva on this.
Yeah.
And he said he had a niece who was murdered while shopping in the
Garment District. She was pregnant. She was at
Kaya.
Yeah. She resisted the guys in trade.
Yeah.
So he wrote a lot of treats that girls should know that
they should karka oilam. Karka. They're forced. That's in the situation. That if a girl is abducted, she should not give up her life. She should not resist.
Don't resist.
But here he's saying more. He's telling her that she should go willingly. That's exactly what Rashi says.
Yeah, I know that.
Good friend of mine.
But he said it's no problem. It's karka oilam.
Mm-hmm. You want to say?
No, so that's why the Gemara asked the question about Esther. That's the whole thing.
Karak Olam. Until now, it was Karak Olam.
The Gemara in Suvas asked on Legabe this Gemara, that's how it's, the Suvi is intertwined. How come they didn't teach Benos Yisrael to do this? It says, Shlo Yehu Benos Yisrael Putz and Barayas. You don't want to instruct them in the beginning to do it because then their morals will lapse a little bit. And they won't put up a fight. They'll say, "Well, you know, what can I do?"
Okay, let's a few short things before we conclude. Here it says Hanim Tzim Bishushan. Why did Esther only want to rally the Jews in Shushan? What about the Jews throughout the world? So very simple. There was no time. There was no time. It was an emergency. These are the ones you can get to. Okay. The next thing is Vitsumu Olai. Olai, the Medrash says, is Kol HaMispalol Ba'at Chaverhu Nene Tchila. There was a partnership. Vitsumu, you fast Olai, and I, V'gamani V'narosai Otsum Kain, I will fast for you. Okay, this is a very important Yisod that Ein Adam Kol HaMispalol Ba'at Chaverhu Tzorch Lo'is Adavrhu Nene Tchila. This was all part of the Achdus. Kinois es kol hayehudim, Achdus. Furthermore, when we daven, let's all daven for each other. I will daven for you, and you daven for me. You daven that my plan should succeed, and I'm also going to be mishtata. I'm going to daven for you. This is just a general theme that when a person is mispalel, a person should feel the achrayis to be mispalel for someone other than yourself. Okay, next. When it says over here, someone once told me that they have mispalel for their children in shidduchim. So it made a very powerful impression upon me. Someone, one of these shidduch lectures. So this person said that, you know, I have three children. I'm a spowl for them, but he has their names. I take, there are two other people that I know that need shidduchim. They're in the same category as my children, the same age, same category, and they're having a very hard time. So I've adopted them as my children. Parents don't know about that. I pray for them. When I pray for my children, mamish, in the same nusach, in the same expression, they're my children. I view them equally in my mind as my children, because if you want tefillah, a sincere tefillah is not where it's selfish, it's only for yourself. The ikar koyach tefillah is mispalel ba'at chaveru, I'm mispalel ba'at chaveru, who tzorch lo'is adover, who nene tefillah. So I've taken two people, they're also, I have now five names that I say every single time I'm mispalel for shidduchim. It's my five children, three of my biological children, two people who I have adopted. And that's really root over here. I'm going to pray for you. You pray for me. I pray for you. Now, what about 3 days? So there's a lot of midrashim. We'll maybe do some of these tomorrow. That a tzara does not last more than 3 days. The intensity of an ace tzara, Kodesh Baruch Hu, is built into the DNA of this world. When a person finds himself in an ace tzara and is overwhelmed, whether it's whatever the situation is, it's a given that after 3 days there will be some degree of relief. There will be a degree of relief where a person will be given either the supernatural strength to cope with the problem, or have an idea of a mahalach, of a solution to the problem. Hashem does not burden a person with a nisayon more than 3 days. Doesn't mean it goes away, the problem, but it means at least the person will feel that he'll be able to deal with it, to accept it, to deal with it, whatever it means. That's why 3 days is now the time that tzara is presented. We're now at a moment of intense pain. So this intense pain will only last for 3 days, and therefore we're going to fast for 3 days. Now, it doesn't mean, by the way, until we had this big shiloh, what does it mean they fast 3 days? Does it mean they fasted 3 days nonstop? they actually did not eat for 3 days continuously. So some say that's correct. And is it possible to do so? I don't know, in today's day and age, can they do so today and age? You can survive with not in no water for 3 days? What?
Survive.
No water, nothing.
You could survive.
3 days?
That's the limit. That's the cutoff point. That's probably the extreme limit. Others say no. It doesn't mean it means that they only fasted by day, like what we do. I take it back. So it means this. It means they ate right before the end of the day. In other words, the fast starts with Seisak HaChavim, and they fast the whole night and the whole day. But you break the fast the last moments of the day. Ben Hashmash, also those last moments, and that's indeed what we do. Like a lot of people fast Erev Shabbos. There's an inyan, there's a contradiction. There's an inyan to fast Erev Shabbos, but there's also a prohibition to enter into Shabbos in a state of hunger, because then when you sit down with the Shabbos meal, you're not going to be able to have kavanah. You're going to eat in a state of a famine, so that's not good. So tzaddikim who fast Erev Shabbos, they break their fast the moments of a candle lighting time, right before they toyim. You break the fast. So sitting over here, it doesn't mean they fasted continuously. It means they broke the fast right before that night. Okay, now one other quick thing we have to do the targum of itzumu. Here's a question. It says over here, itzumu olai, fast olai. When you fast, what do you do when you fast? You don't eat and you don't drink. So why the repetition? Why the verbosity? The tzumu olai. And let me tell you, by the way, what does it mean to fast? V'al tochlu v'al tishtu. Don't eat and don't drink. Of course. If you're fasting, by definition, it means you're not eating and you're not drinking. So why does it say these two extra words? This is the question that the Medrash asked this question. And the Medrash says is, she's telling her to do tshuva for being nene from the su'ud of Achashverosh. Tzumu olai, fast for me, and when you fast for me, you should have a kavana in mind. The kavana in mind is v'al tochlu v'al tishtu, that it's written in the future tense, do not eat, do not drink, but do tshuva. Recognize that you should not have eaten in the past, and you should not have drinking, and be makabel upon yourself in the future. You would never do such a thing again. You would never, in the future, whenever there'll be a situation where there'll be a party to celebrate the end of Klal Yisrael, I'm not going to participate in that celebration. In other words, she's telling them something very, very profound, that why did this happen to us? So we have all the Midrashim bowing down to the idol of Nebuchadnezzar. That's not our problem. That was the previous generation. Okay, so we'll do tshuva. Yosef, that's certainly long ago. But what is it practical for us? We, this generation, the people in Shushan especially, they were nene misudas achashverosh. And what was the sudas achashverosh? The Jewish people have come to an end. There is no hope for the Jewish people. There is nothing to yearn for. 70 years have passed. It's over. Book closed. It's the end. And the Jewish people says, yeah, that's right. So, let's celebrate. Let's celebrate the end, the Siyum of Klal Yisrael. That was the Chet. Don't you ever, ever have such an attitude like that again. Don't ever have an attitude that Klal Yisrael comes over. V'netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. Klal Yisrael lives on forever. Don't ever eat and drink in celebration for your demise. You always have to have hope and yearning for the Geula Shleima. So that's the repetition of Al Tzumu, fast. And when you fast, it should be with a Kabbalah, with an acceptance, a recognition that never again, Al Toichlu V'Al Tishtu, will I ever entertain the possibility to be Nene from the Suda Hashverosh. Which means in the concept, conceptual, I will never entertain the thought of Machshava where Klal Yisrael has come to an end, and we can give up, we can close the curtains, and we can celebrate our end. That is deeper meaning according to the Medrash of why it says the repetition Toichlu V'Al Tishtu. Okay, we'll stop over here.